haven't preached for you 3 weeks, so I'm excited to preach. It's going to be awesome. 4 weeks, I know Grant's been counting. It's been amazing to see. I was saying in the prayer meeting, the last month we've done more of an outreach-focused kind of thing, and we've done apologetics and who is Jesus and all of that kind of stuff, and Samuel shared his testimony, which was amazing. And I feel like I want to switch gear a little bit, because when you start reaching out to people, in a sense, you are moving the kingdom of, you're joining with Jesus, and you're moving the kingdom of light into the kingdom of darkness. And when people come in, lightness and dark collide, and they clash. And so there will be a clash. And so when we started things like our prayer walks, which Wayne and Craig have been doing, meeting together in communion, and praying more, and fasting as a church, I think we will see more spiritual warfare happening. And Ewan McCrae preached recently, we said in the Isle of Man, where they were fasting and praying more, they saw kind of an increase in spiritual warfare. And so I want to prepare us, in a sense, for what might happen. Not that's going to be ongoing forever, but we just want to be aware that these things are real and things are happening. And it's part of our Christian walk, actually. And so with an uptick in praying, we should see hopefully more salvations, more deliverance. I'll talk more about that now, which can be an interesting word, salvations and healing. And this is very much part of the Christian life and the life of the church. I mean, we see it, we all know the passage, but passage like Ephesians 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may stand against the devil's schemes. Firstly, do we know there is a devil and he's scheming against us? Right. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Okay. The spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms are who we are actually fighting against. Or think of 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He is not a lion who is tame. I've seen a tame lion. Tame lions are still scary. They're just in a cage. They can't get to you, but they're still very scary. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith and in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. So, Scripture is very clear that what we see is not all that there is. And there's a very real spiritual realm around us, and we are called to war against. And I like the way Grant said, I'm going to use his phrase. He said to me, he was wondering when in Muizenberg we are going to pick a fight. Because in Keith's almost 18, he's amped. I love it. But that's why we're here in many ways, right? To advance the kingdom. And we should expect that we will meet resistance in the spiritual realm. Okay. And now, in my experience, there are two responses when I mention something like spiritual warfare. The first response, or two common responses, are the ones who get wildly excited, or very excited, because, yeah, they're like, yes, spiritual warfare, let's roll! And I'm not going to point people out on that. You know who you are. And then there's the other side, which is understandable. You can tend to be a little bit cautious and actually sometimes go like, I'm a little bit hesitant with this stuff. It just feels like, you know, in some cases, actually we can be a little bit scared. And go like, I've spoken to a lot of people this week, and I've seen stuff, I don't know, man, like, just it feels a bit overwhelming, and that's fine. Yeah, so I want to speak about both sides, actually, and I think we can find a healthy middle ground where we're not finding a demon behind every tree, and we're actually thinking through how we do the spiritual warfare well and advance the kingdom well. Okay. All right, so a quick story. When this congregation launched in this hall, Andrew was here, and we were in worship. And I was standing next to a guy who had just joined the church called, I won't mention his name. But he's not here. No, he's not here. He was a big guy. I mean, he was big. I was actually quite scared of him just normally. Like, he was not scared, but he was physically imposing. Like, gentle giant. He was a gentle giant. He really was. A card of gold. But, like, yes, man, I wouldn't want to tangle with him. Like, anyway, so he was in the meeting. And then We start worship, and because Andrew's here and there's a whole band and everyone's amped for the launch, literally in the second song, this guy just starts screaming. I'm like, oh my word, like what is going on? And he falls to the ground. He's going, I don't know what he was saying. She's like, rah. It was like roaring. I was like, okay, I don't know what this is. This is crazy. And then Jeff Kidwell was there. So Jeff runs straight towards him. Jeff's praying for him. And I'm like, okay, Jeff's got under control. Okay, cool. The very minute that Jeff is praying for him, another woman who had just been prayed into the congregation that night runs out of the door, going, this is not of God. This, God is a God of order. I'm out. Grabs a bicycle, gone. First meeting, I'm like, fantastic. We've already shrunk. And the thing is this is the thing, is actually the tragedy of that night is we lost two people. She refused to come back because she says, I don't understand what's going on. Despite meeting with her many times, with the deacons and elders going, please, you've got to understand what happened here. This is not something we've conjured or manufactured. He was worshiping. I don't know what happened. She wouldn't come back. And he was so ashamed of what had happened, he was like, I can't come back. I was like, what do you mean you can't come back? Like, God set you free. I can't. I can't face these people. That should never have happened. Really, it should never have happened. Ah, man. Anyway, he messaged me the other day just saying thank you for all we did for him. So it was good. But I grieve for that, man. That should never have happened. Anyway. That was the launch of the church. And so the title of my sermon is Sensible and Spiritual. Okay, how do we find an approach that is both biblical and balanced when we're talking about this thing of spiritual warfare? Okay. Now, as I said before, there's usually two camps. And so on the one side, you normally find the super sensible, and I'll talk about those now because I was once one of those. And then you get the super spiritual. Okay. And what I want to do tonight is try to find that ground to go, both are valuable and relevant, and we need both, and we shouldn't fall onto the supers on any side. Okay? All right. So a little backstory. I grew up in the southern suburbs. I was a Claremont boy. Yeah, I know. I went to a school called Sachs. And I'm so southern suburbs that I went to a rugby match yesterday called Bish Bosh, which, yeah. No, I went. I went to Bish Bosh, and it's between Bishops and Rondebosch. And they all wear blazers and these awesome caps, and it's like entering another world. And Rondebosch won, 31-16. It was a real drubbing. But I grew up in that world. I grew up in the southern suburbs, and for the southern suburbs generally, the approach to things like spiritual warfare is super sensible. We like to think through things. We don't want to ruffle any feathers. We're very diplomatic in most of the things that we do. And actually, in a lot of ways, we try to explain away things that we can't understand. So in the burbs, if you don't understand it, it's got to be a rational reason and sensible for why it's happening. So when things like spiritual warfare and demons come up, those who grow up in that world being super sensible can get a little bit uncomfortable. I think is that fair enough? I'm not belittling anyone, I'm just going, this is my experience. Okay, so please. And we read about demons in scriptures, but the problem is we can distance ourselves from that and downplay it or ignore it altogether. And go, well, that happened many, many years ago, 2,000 years ago. Jesus came once and for all the demons are gone. We don't have to worry about that stuff. We can just be sensible and carry on with our lives. And an example of that in those circles is sickness is always physical and never spiritual. Just take your medication. Okay. So I'm going extremes now, okay? Just to hear me, I'm going extremes. I'll get to that, don't worry. And so we can actually tend to be like the woman who ran out of the hall and go, I don't understand, I'm out. And I spoke to Vanessa a little while ago. So Vanessa's been in church since 1951. Vanessa's been in the church for a long time. She said something to me the other day, which I find fascinating. She said, I've never had to reckon with this thing of spiritual warfare my whole Christian life until I came to Josh Jen. Now, that's not to say that Josh Jen is special in any way. We haven't cornered the market on this thing. It's just that it's something that she hadn't really thought through in her Christian walk until coming to church and going, hey, this is actually real. There's stuff happening here that I can't explain away. I don't want to explain away, even though the southern suburbs inside of me is going, I don't get this. And Vanessa is very southern suburbs, right? Okay. So I grew up in that world from whatever, my whole life pretty much, in many ways. But I also grew up in the super spiritual world. So I grew up in both. So I have the benefit of experiencing, how can I keep waving my finger? Okay. Can't wave my finger around. Okay, so I grew up in the super sensible world, but I also grew up in the super spiritual world. Because at a very young age, my dad joined a church which was an offshoot from another church during the 80s, which was a massive charismatic revival. And so as a young kid of like 5 or 6, I kind of got caught up in this charismania, which was pretty wild, to be honest. I wanted to say it makes our meetings look tame in comparison, but our meetings looked quite good. I mean, there was stuff happening tonight, right? I feel in worship there was something happening of like a faith which was being built up. And there was something happening which was awesome. And so I attended this church, and if I look back, I think in many ways, like that church was on the other extreme. It was super spiritual. And every meeting there was something happening. And every time something happened, there was a reason, it was a spiritual reason why it was happening. And so as a young boy of 5 or 6, I can vividly remember walking through meetings and just seeing people like contorted on the ground and like screaming, and like it was wild. And my parents had no filter. I was like, what are you thinking? Like, why did you let me? But it was real, and it was exciting, and there was stuff happening, and I think it hadn't happened for a while. So there was a definite clash between light and dark. And I got to experience that at a very young age, and I'm thankful for that in many ways. But the problem was is that everything seemed to get over-spiritualized. And so I also grew up in the era called the Satanic Panic. all the guys are going, yeah, I remember. Where everything was demonic. And every toy I ever owned, I mean, there were a lot of Smurfs that were just dispensed of. And Ninja Turtles, I mean, like, ugh. Anyway. And I don't want to caricature that, actually, because I do think the people who were involved, all Christians who were involved, were sincere. So I don't want to go like, oh, it was, I don't want to caricature it. But I think there was a bit of eschatology, end-time theology that kind of fueled this kind of like theology. Okay. So I've been on both sides. And on that side, which is in contrast to the super sensible side, is that all sickness is demonic. And all medicine is bad. Okay, so we've got this side where it's like sickness is never from the devil ever, and medicine, just take your meds and you'll be fine. Okay, I'm not advocating for not taking meds. There's a massive disclaimer at the end of this preach, okay, so we'll get to that. And then there's the other side where it goes, everything is spiritual. Every sickness, the minute you have one cough, it's demonic. Okay, we've got to get around you and pray for you. And don't you dare take a medication because, well, and so there are these, I think there's still two extremes in the church, to be honest. Polar opposites. And I think actually there's a danger that the one extreme view can cancel out the other one and actually become ineffective at the end of the day. And so we try to find this really neutral ground, which is not what I'm advocating for. I'm not looking for a neutral ground where we never pray for people. And the minute something happens, we draw back and go, well, no, that's not okay. Ooh, I don't know about that. All right, let's put our sensible caps back on. And I think there is a space to take spiritual warfare seriously, but also sensibly. Sensible and spiritual. Now, I want to look at a scripture. I've just mentioned sickness, but I want to look at a scripture which I think is fascinating. Because it talks about spiritual warfare, but it talks about sickness. And it talks about the role that sickness can play in spiritual warfare. And it's a passage that I've thought through fairly regularly. Okay, so Matthew 17:14. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. O unbelieving, perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long must I remain with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Now, the first thing, if you're a parent, this is a heart-wrenching story. I'm sure for any parent, when you have a sick child, it's, I just remember for us, it's kind of like, it's almost immediate panic stations. It's like, you're a parent, you don't know what to do, you're not medically inclined, what do? Can we go to the hospital? And you can imagine this father with his son going, this boy has seizures, it's actually almost causing him physical harm. He's falling into fires and into water. There's something going on here which is quite intense, and the father's desperate to find a solution. And so I would imagine most parents would be immediately sympathetic or show empathy towards this father and the situation he faces with his son. Now, I want us to think for a minute. What if one of our kids started having a seizure? And whenever they did, as Scripture says, there was sudden screaming, foaming at the mouth, lack of speech, falling, rigidity, and self-harm. Just imagine that on a regular basis, your kid is, that's happening to your kid. It is devastating. Really, it is. And so I would say for most of us, we know that saying, it looks like a duck, it sounds like a duck, it must be a duck. And so as we read this passage, we go, it looks like epilepsy, it sounds like epilepsy, it must be epilepsy. Surely. If you're confronted with that and that happening in the life of the congregation, I think most of it, and I don't think we'd be wrong in saying that. But interestingly, Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all saw spiritual oppression. It looks like epilepsy, it sounds like epilepsy, it must be a demon. Like, what? When I read that, I was like, yeah? See, in this case, physical symptoms had a spiritual cause. We're all very quiet, very quickly. Physical symptoms had a spiritual cause. So what I'm saying, what you hear me saying is this. The spiritual can affect your physical. And to that I would reply, yes. I've just told you we're in a spiritual battle. And we go, well, that's fine. We're fighting the spiritual battle. Yeah. I've just told you now the spiritual can affect the physical. That's a little bit, whoa, okay, whoa, whoa. What? You shouldn't get scared. I'm just saying. Job 2. So Satan went out of the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Or think of this passage, which I hadn't read in years, but it's fascinating. Luke 13:10. On Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman there had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. And a woman there had been disabled by a spirit. For 18 years, he was hunched over and could not stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called out over to her and said, woman, you are set free from your disability. And then he placed his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and began to glorify God. We're getting a little bit theological tonight, but that's all good. So you're going, I suppose maybe you're thinking, what does this mean? Is all sickness spiritual? You've just told me there's two extremes. There's sensible and spiritual. Now you're saying that the spiritual can cause physical sickness. What is going on? Is all sickness spiritual? No. We have to hold this in tension. Should I pray for you now? So we might be tempted. So imagine you then, you see Jesus, and this boy has an epileptic fit, which looks like it. Actually, it's a demon manifesting symptoms of epilepsy. And you go, okay, epilepsy is demonic. And every time you see an epileptic, you're driving out demons. No. So So we might be tempted to believe that all seizures and epilepsy in Scripture are spiritual. But then in Matthew 4:24, it says this. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted by various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And so we have to be open to the possibility of spiritual oppression as much as we need to be open to medical intervention. I'm trying to provoke you a little bit tonight. Well, I caught up with Mike quickly before this. I wanted to make sure my facts were straight. Because sickness can be caused caused by the spiritual. But sickness can also just be sickness and physical. And so Mike, for many of you who were here last year, Mike suffered from leukemia for a year. And so what is our role as a church then? Well, it's to pray for healing. What if Mike doesn't get healed? Well, our church is to love him with everything. Our role as a church is to love him with everything that we have. And I hope we did that well. And to go, how do we get around the fast? And while we pray for healing, just to support them and go, this is, our bodies get sick. I get that, our bodies get sick. And so I actually would love to pray for people who are just, who are feeling like they need healing after the meeting. I would, I'd love to. I mean, I feel like faith is built in this place to go, oh my, come on, Jesus, won't you heal some people? Won't you do it, Father? How do we know if a sickness is spiritual or just physical? Because how do we know now? Like, I've just kicked my toe. It must be spiritual. I've got the flu in flu season. It's not spiritual. I don't know. Which one is it? Who's sick here now? I pray every time. No, but it's a question we're playing. Like, how do I know now? I want to go through this because I want to settle us a little bit, and I'll get to the point of why I'm preaching this sermon. My sermon is not necessarily about sickness and healing. It's about, I'll tell you now what it's about. So how do we settle? Yeah, with my finger. I think, how do we know? Is I don't think we should rush into either of the supers too quickly. I don't think we should rush into the super spiritual too quickly, and I don't think we should rush into the super sensible too quickly either. I think we actually need to slow down and actually just go, okay, told me you're sick, okay. As opposed to going, I'm out. Or like, just go to the doctor, you'll be fine. And I'll get to the point of why I say that. But I think we need to slow down, maybe ask some questions. How often does it happen? What triggers it? Russell Fraser did a series on deliverance recently. He said, often it happens in worship. Why? Just because the presence of God is there. We're not like, it's just the presence of God is there and things happen. Have we prayed and asked God for discernment? Does it often put the person in danger? Think of the story, the father. His son was being thrown into the fire. What is the goal of the enemy? Kill, steal, and destroy it. What is the history of it? Has anyone helped you? Has anything helped you in the past? And have doctors found a source? I mean, we need to be spending time asking questions. But most importantly, we always need to be discerning what is the cause and what is the cure. As believers, we have to be discerning. Now, I've said it as a joke before. If you've just kicked your toe, I'm pretty much going to say you've just kicked your toe. I don't know if there's anything spiritual behind that. But in other cases, maybe we need to ask a few questions just to find out why this thing is recurring or what is happening here that you're not getting breakthrough from this thing. Okay, maybe we need to pray for you. And this is the reason why. It's important because you can't fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. Why is it important? It is important because you can't fight spiritual battles with physical weapons. You can't fight a spiritual symptom with medication. It's a saying, I mean, you might have heard it before, spitting in the wind. I mean, it's not very kosher or cultured. I did go to Bish Bosh yesterday. I'll tell you that, I went to Bish Bosh. I wore my best outfit, so I was looking really good. I wasn't. And it means to waste your time by trying to do something that has little or no chance of success. And I say that because a woman crippled by a spirit can only be set free by the spirit. And a boy who's made sick by a spirit can only be made well through deliverance. You could treat that boy for epilepsy his whole life. He will never recover. Because it's not epilepsy. Just as an example. Second Corinthians 10 says this, "For though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not weapons of the world. Instead, they are divine power. We have divine power to demolish strongholds." So we need to discern when something is spiritual and something is physical. If it's physical, treat it. By all means, wonderful. This is not, please, don't ever think you've heard me say I'm against doctors. I'm not. If you're physically ill and it needs to be treated, get treated, please. Don't not get treated and be a martyr. But if it's spiritual, then we need to pray for you. If we've gone through that process and discerned and the elders and prayed and gone, we think this is spiritual, can we pray for you? I think there's something here we need to find. Remembering that our weapons are not according to the flesh. And so why do we do this? If we discern that something is spiritual, why do we partake in the spiritual warfare just for the sake of it? No, because at the end of that story, Jesus says, and Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed from that moment. We want to see people freed from oppression, from doubt, from fear, from chains being broken off, from bondage, from everything. And the point of setting people free from that kind of thing is to see them free. Not for a show. I don't know about you, but I want to see people free. I don't want to see people struggling and stuff for year after year after year going, I don't know what it is, just can we pray for you? I was listening to a podcast recently and this guy was talking, he was just telling stories and sharing stories about how he's seen people being set free from demonic bondage over years. And I was like, something inside of me got so excited. Not because I want any power, I don't want any fame. I don't want to like look people look at me and go like that guy. I'm like, just because those people were set free. So here's the reason why I'm preaching this sermon. As we go into the season of fasting, of praying, of outreach and evangelism, I don't want us to fall into our old patterns of either being super sensible or super spiritual, but I want us to be aware and to engage in spiritual warfare. And I want us to do it well, and I want us to put on the armor of God when we need to and fight for people's freedom. And I preach this because I think as a church, actually, we tend towards the sensible side. And I think we need to get a little bit more spiritual and radical. And not for the sake of it. Not for the sensationalism. I don't want to be known as the church where crazy things happen. I want to be known as a church where people get set free, where they walk in bondage in one day and they walk out the door the other going, I don't know what happened, but something happened and now I'm free. And I'm just only Jesus. All day. So, the real, again, I've got a lot of points where I wanted to preach this sermon. This is what I really want to highlight. Church. Do we keep the possibility of something being spiritual or do we always default to sensible? Can we keep the door open to maybe not everything we see is just what we see and there is a spiritual realm we're at war with? I might be preaching to the choir, or I might not be. Okay. I really just want to prepare us. Because I do sense, and I've seen it, there's been more praying for people and seeing things happen in the spiritual, which is exciting. And because my default is to give people my best advice. I was telling my elders, I was like, I've got great advice. I've read lots of books, like I've read like psychology and sociology. I'm like, if you just tweak that, bro, you'll be flying. And they come back the next week and they're not flying. I'm like, what do you, dude, I gave you my best advice. Like it was anyone else that would have been flying. You, I don't know. I've misdiagnosed the problem. Potentially, I'm not saying it is, but I'm potentially, I haven't seen something that is spiritual that needs prayer as opposed to my good advice. I still will give you good advice, but then we'll pray afterwards. And my disclaimer is this, please, everyone listen to me very closely, please. I'm going to read this. If you are on meds currently, especially any kind, for any kind of mental health issue, do not stop taking them. Come and speak to the elders. Let's ask the questions and walk a journey. Okay. Was that clear enough? Okay. All right. A quick word quickly. I'm wrapping up now. Colossians 2, 14 and 15 says this. And this is for those who might feel a bit overwhelmed by all of this. Having cancelled the debt ascribed to us in the decrees that stood against us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It's not my power, it's not your power, it's not my words, it's the cross. It's Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. Okay. If you see things happening, just go, just speak to someone. Go, I don't know what sounds happening, but I know Jesus is bigger. I know he's one. I know he says all principalities and powers. Okay? Okay. We have victory through Christ. That should be our confidence. Okay. If we do see spiritual warfare happening in the church, if you see things happening in the front, please, please, please. Please don't be the woman who ran out the back door and wouldn't come back. Please speak to us. Promise you what we're doing is biblical, not crazy, but Scripture teaches us, and we want to be faithful to Scripture. If you find yourself on the receiving end of spiritual warfare, please, please, please don't feel ashamed. Please, at all. There is nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, all it is you finding freedom. And more freedom, and more freedom. And actually with that freedom comes joy, and peace, and everything that comes with Christ comes with that. So please, never feel like if something's happened, you're like, oh, I can't go back. No, run back here. Russell's done a fantastic teaching. I'll put it on the broadcast group. And I'll share that with everyone. Let me pray. Just before I pray, if while I've been preaching, you might be thinking, yo, there's just this thing I don't know about, and something in what Dylan's saying has just provoked something, and I'm going, maybe I need to get prayer for that thing. I'm actually going to ask you to come and speak to myself or Julian or Mike. Come and talk to one of the elders, and let's walk a journey out with you. I think that's the best way to do it right now. Okay, but think about it, pray about it. Ask God, hey, is there something I need prayer for? I think that'd be cool. Okay, let me pray. Thank you, Father, that there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, Father God. God, we are so grateful for everything you've done for us. We are so grateful that you are so invested in our lives that you are keep wanting to bring us into greater measures of freedom, Father God. And I thank you for that, Jesus. God, I thank you as a church, we wouldn't shy away from spiritual warfare and seeing people coming into freedom, but God, we would run towards it, but run towards it responsibly and do it well, Father God, and lead people into lasting freedom, Father God. We want to see people whose lives have changed for a long, long time, Father God. And only through you, Father God. So thank you for tonight, Father God. Thank you for this church. Thank you, God, that we are here to engage with the enemy, Father God. And I don't want it to be a scary thing, but it is a real thing, Father God. And we want to see victory in the life of this church. But only through the name of Jesus. So we thank you for tonight, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.